Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, online at bizradio.co.uk and Freeview 277. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and not the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. Oh, yes, she is. She's just arrived. Oh, shut the door, why don't you? Hello. Thank you for joining. Oh, don't do that. Don't bang things on the table.
Can I not clunk?
Yeah. See, the thing is, now you're sitting quite close to me, I can slap your wrist when you do things like that.
All I need is a volume, because you're very loud.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, hello, lovely listeners. And what a beautiful day.
Huh?
What a beautiful day.
It is, yeah. We're still waiting for John to come.
Oh, are we all late today then?
Everyone's late apart from me, because I'm here all the time. So that's quite...
Yeah, but there is a clue to that you live next door.
Yeah, there is. You don't need to get close to the mic anymore.
Oh.
It'll pick you up from where you are.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
I could have just done it from William Harvey.
No, you couldn't do it from that far away. No. We've got a guest in the studio, though. We've got Penny, who arrived on time.
Yes. Well, one had an appointment with one's mother at William Harvey at 9:40 a.m. this morning.
Right.
And one's mother, who's 93, is still there.
A&E.
Well, it's not A&E. Yesterday I...
Majors. I know all the departments. Don't worry, I've been around all of them.
Well, they asked after you and your mother.
Did they? Yeah.
I'm very echoey in my earphones. Mm. Oh, Mike is doing things. Is he turning me down? Oh, that's lovely.
Yep.
I'm rummaging for a pen. It's lovely to see Penny, because she looks very normal and I feel very flustered. She looks all calm.
Penny's always calm and normal and...
I have to say that yesterday I took my mother, Ruth, who's 93, to A&E, because I knew I was on air. So I thought, right, get it
over. Well, you weren't on air yesterday. You're on air today.
Yeah. I thought, get it over and done with, you know.
Right, yeah.
So I said, look, Mum, I really don't want to do the washing up today, Easter, all the family were there.
Right.
Let's go to A&E. It's so much more fun.
Yep.
And you get free tea, free sandwiches, trolley comes around. You know, it's like money, no object, Penny.
Right.
So we did it yesterday, and they took blood tests and all this sort of thing. And then they said, come back tomorrow morning at 9:40. So I said to my mum, that's fine, because it's only half an hour from the studio. And got there at 9:40, and the nurse went, well, she said, you didn't need to come till 10:40, and you're not going to, then it would be a couple of hours. The hands went on the hips.
All right.
Mikey, I've parked very near your car, so if you, luckily you're slim, you can slide in.
Can you pay attention to this radio show?
Sorry, it's just Mikey's so gorgeous, isn't he? He's gorgeous. And he sorts things out.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, my mother is still there, and I've been wheeling her about, but she's so resilient. Do you know, Penny, my mum took her own breakfast sandwiches. She's got all... She said, don't worry about me, you've got my sandwiches. And she had salmon sandwiches she'd made on brown bread with bits of cucumber. I've just had my boiled egg, which is my breakfast, which was in a jam jar. I'm quite well known to this, which is my going home snack. I've just had it now, literally like an ostrich as I was driving. And then Mr. Andrews says, you're late.
You were late.
What's the girl to do?
I don't know.
Dump my mother. Leave her at the William Harvey. But do you know, Paul Andrews, I think, and Penny, I think that they must have worked this system out a long, long time ago, maybe in 1066, because A&E was yesterday.
Yeah.
And the appointment was, you know, they did a D-dimer, because I know what to do now. I say, do a D-dimer, want to check for clots. So that was all done yesterday. And I said, could she have a leg scan? They said, oh, no, because it's bank holiday. It's A&E. Penny, you can talk. It's all right. Say hello.
I don't say anything, because I've had some awful experiences with
We all have.
NHS in the last 6 months, unfortunately. Yep. So. Yep.
This is the trouble. I think, really, off air, we need to all meet for wine, and Paul can non-alcohol. But anyway, so you're polite, because the staff are fabulous. I mean, the doctor, Dr. Sadiq yesterday from Iraq, Paul Andrews.
Yep.
So I started speaking into Ellen Keith Halligander, Hamdallah, Hamdallah. And he said, he spoke to me in Arabic, but he said, actually, I'm Kurdish. And he came to India.
Is there any particular reason why he did that?
Well, I spoke to him in Arabic.
Yeah.
Because his name was Dr. Sadiq, so you can't.
So you thought you'd show off and speak Arabic?
I like to practice.
Right, you know, okay.
I've forgotten it. Anansid.
Okay.
Anyway, we had a long chat and he spoke to me in Arabic and then he said, actually, I'm Kurdish. So I said, is that a different dialect or a different language? And he said, different language. It's very interesting. He was absolutely lovely. And do you know what, Paul?
Know what?
He's got a low thyroid.
Oh, no.
And my mother has a low thyroid.
Hold on, hold on. You didn't lecture him about thyroid in Arabic by any chance?
No, but he was amazing because my mum, she's 93, she's amazing. She still walks into Whitstable, which is a couple of miles from Tangerton, carries her shopping home. She's amazing. But she's got, her legs are literally bruised from the shin, all the shin. They're black.
Right.
They look like orange peel. And she's, nobody's ever told her. She's right. Just said it's because her thin, you know, her skin is thin because she's old. Nobody's ever told her. And he looked at her leg yesterday, which is very swollen, which is why I was going, they've just texted to say there's no clots. So,
well, that's good news,
Hamdallah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Hamdallah.
Yeah.
We say in Arabic.
Just so you know, Penny, we do a half-hour health roundup every week.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, with Jules, yeah.
To be continued off air when we can really rant.
I think Jules missed her vocation. Yeah,
I would love to have been a GP.
Oh, I was going to say vet.
Or a vet, yeah. But I left school too early and I didn't have any O-levels.
Mind you, you were a dental assistant at one spot.
I was a very good dental assistant. Yeah. And I think that has given me skills because, like, when my new husband's doing stuff in the kitchen and he goes, forceps, scissors, you know, I'm right there like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I can even do the twizzle, you see.
Yeah, have you got the uniform and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, steady on.
Yeah.
I am now...
Ooh, matron.
I am a bit old for that. Mind you, at your age, I mean, anything goes.
Yeah.
So anyway, going back to my mother's leg, he said, ooh, your leg. Mm-hmm. You know, we went there about the swelling, but he looked at this really disfigured colour of her leg.
Right.
And he said, and he gave some name, it's called... tibia, which is that bone.
Yeah, yeah.
Tibia thyroiditis, and he said it's because of your thyroid that you've got this, like an orange peel discolouring. It's very rich.
It's not cellulitis, is it?
No.
My mum had cellulitis. That was horrible.
I know. Well, that's where water pours out the legs.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Yeah, I'm sat there thinking, what on earth's going on here?
You see, we're practically doctors now. I just go in, I go, right, I need a D-dimer, I need a scan. Anyway, he was lovely, Dr. Sadiq, so we now know... we could have some treatment for this discoloured leg, which he's never had.
Yeah.
And anyway, we went back for the 9:40.
Okay.
And they said, as I said, she was still there. Okay. I felt awful leaving her.
Yeah, but Gavin's there.
Well, he's with the dog, Darcy, so he can't physically go in. He's waiting by Connington Lakes.
Right, okay.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah, yeah.
Walking Darcy dog with his laptop working.
Right.
Saying
to tap the table.
Oh, sorry. Saying to his very eminent clients in Nigeria, here I am in my office, which is really greyhound walking, Connington Lakes.
Oh, we've got a John joining us.
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Yay.
and do you know what?
He just put his cup down.
Yes, I know that.
I'm
going to slap him in a minute. Yeah.
Anyway, so he will, my mother is compass mentors enough to be wheeled down in a wheelchair. I've told her, I've sent Gav a picture of pickup point.
Right.
And it's going to be like clockwork. And Matt, we met Matt, who's the porter. He's going to wheel her down.
Okay.
I gave her a kiss from you and here I am.
You did what?
Gave her a kiss on the cheek from you.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Is she all right? Is she holding up?
Yeah, she's very chirpy.
Cool.
She's missed her choir.
Right. Well, in that...
Start again.
In that 12 minutes of you talking, I've now managed to turn my microphone on.
Oh,
because if you saw me looking weird, the reason for that was my microphone didn't appear to be working. But if you actually turn it on, it's really cool. Yeah.
You just looked a bit baffled, but I thought that's because I was late and you don't like that sort of thing.
I ought to tell the listener, that basically this is the very first show in the very first 10 minutes in our brand new studio with a brand new set of equipment.
We're on the Virgin show.
You are on the Virgin show. This is kind of Virgin Radio, but not. It's all working really well if you actually turn things on. Yeah.
And can I turn my headphones down on this?
I can turn your headphones. No, you can't do it. I can, though. No.
Oh.
But only if you're nice to me.
Oh, I'm nice.
Paul has the power.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that. So the presenter has the power.
I do everything.
Oh, that
but I always did anyway.
Well, not always. Mostly annoying. So we can just sit back and talk.
Well, kind of, yeah. You've got emails to read. We've got two fantastic guests to talk to.
Yeah. I'm going to video the guests.
I'm going to kind of start again as well because my mic wasn't working too well at the front of the show. So you're listening to the Business Bunker radio show and you're listening on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 or online at bizradio.co.uk. So there you go. Cool. We've got two fantastic guests that we're going to be talking to during the show, John Lovell and Penny Williams. John is from Easy Chat. Penny is from Kenwood Trust. And we're going to be talking all about the kind of things they've been up to. We've got Jules here with her medical problems, which always gives us a laugh.
It's not mine. I'm chirpy.
Well, when you say it's not yours, you're the one with a thyroid problem, an AstraZeneca problem.
Look, the thyroid is perfectly sorted.
A gammy leg, a Wilkie eye.
No. Let's just go back. Oh, we had a lovely French doctor as well.
Oh, dear.
From Saint-Tropez.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't pronounce his name, I can't remember, but he was lovely. And I saw him again today and he waved and he said, "Are you still here?" I said, "Yes." But he was lovely. All the doctors are lovely. All the staff are lovely. But I have to say, there seems something very wrong with the whole... What they're doing now, because we know that the waits are 21 hours average...
Yep, yep. Yep.
Especially at William Harvey.
Yep.
What they're doing now is they're just sending you to another A&E. That's all it was this morning. It's another waiting room of 30 people.
Right, let me explain this
to you.
Maybe
10 hours.
Let me explain this to you.
Yeah.
When they closed the A&E at the Kent and Canterbury,
yeah.
They then decided that they had to refurbish and reorganise the A&E at William Harvey.
Yeah.
But being managed by the NHS means that they closed it first and then reorganised it, rather than reorganise it and then close the other one. So for the last 2 years, they've been rebuilding it while it's in operation.
Right, okay.
You also find that A&E isn't just one place.
I noticed.
Yeah, there's a thing called majors, yeah? So if you've got a major problem... And you're in A&E, they quickly ship you into majors, and there's a separate waiting room and a separate area. I know all about this. I've spent most of my life up there.
I know. They asked over here. Well, we were sent today to ESDEC.
Right, okay.
Which is something else.
Something.
Emergency, still emergency, but we were in emergency yesterday.
Right.
So to me, sorry, but something's wrong in the process because yesterday was the emergency. Today, they took blood tests yesterday. There was no scan because it was a bank holiday. Apparently, you don't have emergency scans.
Yeah.
But today should not have been another emergency waiting room. It should have been her appointment for her scan.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was another waiting room. So all they're doing is just shifting you.
They just move you around.
And then, because she can't walk, they whisked her. They had to go back downstairs where the scans are. So I had to find a wheelchair.
When a couple of years ago, when Amanda got kicked by a horse,
I remember that.
Yeah, we were there days, and eventually I lost my temper and I went down. I went, "Is somebody ever going to see us? We've been calling you for 2 hours. Really, where? In waiting room A. We're in waiting room B. We're in waiting room B." So
that's what they did to my mum's leg.
But I'm that's not nice.
We're gonna
compression tights too tight.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're sharing medical photographs now.
That's my
mum.
I know, like a crocodile. But
that looks like cellulitis to me.
Well, we do know we have to be careful what we say, but we do know there's an awful lot of cellulitis.
When were you ever careful you said?
Now we're on FM. One has to be.
We've been on FM a year or so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm towing the line today. Mm. But cellulitis after the jabs is huge.
Right.
Clots are huge, through the roof. Guillain-Barré syndrome, once rare. There are pockets of it. So I'm surrounded. we'll have to have a chat. What we could do, I was thinking of doing another podcast on the medical side because I've got a couple of doctors.
Oh, whoopee-do.
Well, I met this amazing French doctor and he wants to do a podcast with me. So I said, well, funny. He lives in Folkestone, so that's quite near.
Yeah.
So I said, I know a little studio we could probably
use. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll join in.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're right up my street, Penny. And I love your hair. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's looking good.
What about mine?
Yeah, she never says that about us, does she, John? Yeah.
I love your parting.
Yeah.
John, and you've got such a sweet face, haven't you? It's like even when you're 90, you're going to have that face.
Next year.
why do the rest of us get a different one then?
Well, you sort of get, but I mean, my arms are like...
You got bingo wings.
You said flappy. You called them flappy last week.
Yeah, no, they're bingo wings. Aren't they?
That's not nice, Paul.
I know, but that's what they are.
Flappy.
No, they're bingo wings.
Is that why you're holding a dobber?
Yeah.
Dobber? I don't get that.
For bingo.
Oh, yeah. I see. So what we need to do is this all the time. It doesn't work on radio. Anyway, hello to all our listeners, because we've got you in Romney Marsh, Sangport.
Yeah.
Port. Where else? Sussex borders.
Well, you can listen to this show anywhere in the world because we're online.
Oh, yeah, America.
But on FM, it's Romney Marsh, East Sussex, The Weald. Yeah. Anywhere. You can listen to us anywhere.
I tell you what, driving around The Weald is absolutely beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
Stunning. You forget, living in Whitstable, I forget. But I tell you what.
My youngest was in Whitstable at the weekend.
Was he? What was he doing?
He was fishing the last time I saw him.
Was he?
Yeah.
What for? Sewage?
No, fish.
Whitstable is full of sewage every
day. It is.
What did he get? A sea bass?
Sewage.
Did he get a sea bass?
I've no idea. I just saw an Instagram post of him standing on the harbour fishing.
Do you know, this is where we've got in our life, Paul Andrews, looking at our kids' Instagrams to find out. I saw my daughter.
I wouldn't know where he was in the world if I didn't look at his Instagram.
I saw Sid, my daughter, who, you know, had her phone stolen. They just snatch it on bikes. Apparently, he just came up on a bike in London and just took it like that from her.
Yeah.
But she was on a date, I think. And she didn't tell me, but she was on a date because I could tell her hair was done.
What, would have gone and stolen the phone?
Probably. No, she was at a rifle range. And, you know, she's...
Hold on. She was...
She's probably practising for the next guy that does it.
Hold on, she was armed.
On a date.
On a date and armed. Right, okay.
But I could tell she was on a date, Penny, because her hair was all lovely. It was all swishy. And somebody was taking a picture of her from behind. She was very alluring with a gun. And I just guess she's on a gate. She hasn't told me yet. So I only get the information because it's all internet dating or whatever you do nowadays. Yeah. What is it? Online dating.
Yeah, okay.
Hinge.
What is it?
Hinge.
Is that a new one?
One of them.
Okay.
Bumble.
I'm sure she's bumbling along. But, you know, some of the pictures she shows me, I say, oh, no. But some lovely guys.
I've completely lost the plot in this story. We had
cellulitis.
We had Sid having a mobile phone stolen while on a date and on a rifle range. And then I lost the plot from there.
Well, if you saw me, because I didn't want to leave my mum, because I thought, if they say it's a clock.
Are we back to that now?
Yeah. And she was going, go. She said, go. You know, it was 12 o'clock. And I said, I need to leave at noon. And she said, go. Look, she said, Paul will be upset. Go, just go. And I said, oh, I don't like to leave. You know, I got her another cup of tea and I told her where the loos were. And I found Matt the porter and da-da-da-da. And then I told them where she was because I know they'll call her and she's in another room because she's in a wheelchair. They put her in another bit. How old's your mum, Penny?
She's recently passed away, but she was 89.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
So we're in the...
Hold on. I've had a tweet.
Fixed the whole...
I've had a tweet from Martin Reeves.
And the Vendellas?
No, just Martin.
Yeah.
My mum was at William Harvey last year, and I've never seen A&E so busy.
I know.
A nurse tried to help my mum get dressed, but they stumbled... And the nurse accidentally hit the red button.
Oh.
Yeah. All the staff in Miners shot into my mum's room to assist.
To help her put her trousers on.
Yeah.
Gosh. And now I know what Martin's doing. He's getting ready to celebrate his daughter's 11-year-old.
Grace, yeah. His daughter Grace, she's 11 today. So happy birthday, Grace. I hope you have a lovely day.
And also, he's had a lot of time with his mum quite poorly, hasn't he?
Yeah,
I think we're at that stage. But as my mum said, it's disgusting. She said, in the old days, you'd get a home visit. You know, people would come to your home. And now, I mean, I've booked her a telephone consultation with the GP. She can't hear on the telephone. It's hopeless. It's just, I don't know.
Who can't hear on the telephone?
My mum. She's got a £3,000 hearing aid, but she doesn't like mobile phone.
Oh yeah, well,
and here, we've got here, it on our records. Please call the landline.
Yeah,
they forget.
You can get those hearing aids now that actually attach to your phone via Bluetooth.
You can.
I think that's what she's got. It's 3.5K. I hope so, but she doesn't like it.
Right. Mm. I'm trying to catch
this is
up.
My coffee from 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Still hot?
I'm trying to get a word in edgeways. I don't know why I bother, Ben. I don't know why I bother with
what
this.
What I didn't hear at the beginning of the show is my jingle back.
No.
Paul and Jules.
Mike and I have searched all over every database we've
been
got.
Been sabotaged.
And there is no jingle that you claim that there is with your name in it.
It said Paul Andrews and Jules Serkin.
It doesn't.
It has done for
well,
months.
Well, someone has gone and erased that. Totally from every archive.
I wonder who.
No, and it's not on any old show, so I don't know where you got that from. I will make you another one just to make you happy.
I will listen to the back show.
The Jules Serkin doctor's appointment, we'll call it.
I think we need to stop bickering because people are going to talk about us. And I've got a little email to read. Shall I read it?
No.
Okay. Have you got an introduction? Anything?
No, I want to read. It's 22 minutes past one, for goodness sake. But the show's nearly finished and we haven't started yet.
I know.
I want to read this tweet. I've been trying to read it for 10 minutes.
Spit it out.
Okay. It's a Michael Park Surveyors.
I love them.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. We would love a Business Bunker shout out. It's our favourite radio show.
Gosh.
So that's really kind, isn't it? That's Michael Park Surveyors. They're commercial surveyors based on the Medway City Estate in Rochester, covering the southeast of England.
Their website is michaelparks, which is PARKES.co.uk. And they have a little telephone. Shall I read it out?
Yeah, go for
it. Do you want it in Arabic or English?
Oh, well, I don't care. French.
Okay, I can do it in Arabic or English. But it's 01634294994.
What? We'll do Arabic for the people on Romney Marsh, huh?
Sefer wahad seta teleta arba etnin tesa.
She's making that
arba tesa tesa arba.
You're making that up.
We've got Arabic listeners, bound to. Got lots in Cairo.
Now do Japanese.
I can't do that.
I can.
Go on,
Ichi Nisan. Ishiashi Guju. It's 1 to 10 in Japanese.
I've never been to Japan. I've travelled a lot, but I haven't been. I'd love to go. Have you ever been, Penny?
No, never been Far East.
Nope. I would love to go, and not just for the tea ceremony, but the gardens, the whole thing. Take your shoes off.
Stu, my youngest, went there a couple of years ago for the Rugby World Cup. And while he was there, there was a tsunami, a hurricane, and the Rugby World Cup. It was lovely. He had a great time. Swimming, mostly, up Tokyo High Street.
So dangerous.
Metamorph of Success, the lovely Keely. She has a competition alert, free prize draw, all-inclusive retreat. She will be announcing it later today at 6 p.m. She says, tap here to take part in the quiz for a free prize entry to win the retreat. And you've got to do it today. And the best way to do that is to follow her on Twitter. And her Twitter handle is Metamore, M-E-T-A-M-O-R, the number 4, success. Metamore for success, if you want to enter that competition.
That sounds really good. I've got a competition coming up. I've been sent some sauces by Chef.
Right.
Which are gluten-free, and actually, Penny, we must talk about that off-air because I haven't got the details on me, but I've got them at home, and the sauces are aimed, they can be had, they're vegan, obviously, nowadays, but they're mayonnaises and chilli sauces, but they're all gluten-free as well, so they're aiming, we've got 25 sets to give away for people to try, so they're aiming for schools, hospitals, that sort of thing, hot desking cafes, maybe, on Sheppey. Okay. So when I've got details, I'll bring them in and we'll do some tasters on air, and then we can sort that out.
Nice one. Do you know what?
Tunage?
We're going to do cheesy tunage.
Then you can show me how to work everything in the...
eventually.
Are we having a news at 2 p.m?
No, we have a break at 2 p.m, as we have done for the last 6 months.
Is it comfort break?
It's a comfort break at 2 p.m.
I haven't managed to go to the loo since about 7 this morning.
Well, the nice thing about our new studio is the loo's just over there.
I love that.
So you don't have to walk 2 flights of stairs.
And it's a bit like the BBC, you know, where people can ogle you through the windows.
Yeah.
It's like when I was BBC, they used to ogle us through the windows.
In Tunbridge Wells?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can see them from the shopping centre, can't you? From that shopping mall.
They ogle and they wave.
They've got a big glass window so you can look in.
Well, it's like this. Look, all our fans queued up.
It, it, Well,
they're here for Penny.
When I was doing a show with Ian Collins on BBC Radio Kent, all the kids used to line up there making rude signs at us while we were on air, and we had to try to stop ourselves from corpsing while they were doing stupid things outside that window. Yeah. Anyway, shall we have some cheesy tunage?
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk to John. So this is cheesy tunage.
I've got a guess. I can't look at the screen.
Oh, it's easy.
The chiffon. Sweet talking guy. Is that John?
Yeah.
I love this song. I love this song.
Sweet talking guy.
Sweet talking guy, the chiffons there.
Just like you.
You see what I did there?
Just like you.
It's John from Easy Chat.
Yeah.
Sweet talking guy, yeah. John Easy Chat. See?
Yeah.
Oh, that's clever, isn't it?
No? Doesn't he look good, John?
Does he what?
He looks good, doesn't he?
He's a smiler, isn't he?
Yeah. Now, I'm struggling because I like to look at my guests.
You can't.
And, yeah.
No, you can't. Now you look like you've got a stiff neck.
Yeah, but I like to look at my guests.
You can move your chair. You can't move the mic. She keeps trying to move the mic. You can't move the mic.
I do that.
Yeah, it's nailed down.
Well, because I film, I guess, as they chat, you know.
Oh,
yeah. John, welcome.
Hello.
It's lovely to see you again, my friend.
Great to be back. Thank you very much.
John is from Easy Chat, hence the chiffons there with Sweet Talking Guy.
Mm.
Why don't you kick off, John? Tell us a little bit about John to start with.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about Easy Chat.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
Always a pleasure.
Always good fun. So we are, or John now, I'm now in my fourth year since I left the motor trade, which was a 20-year career.
Right.
Loving every minute, creating basically communication channels for people.
Right.
Telephone, inbound, outbound, and obviously now the live chat scenario.
Right.
But yeah, so me, I like golf, I like people, right. Networking.
Right. You're very into BNI as well, aren't you?
Yeah, BNI, big networking for us. That's how me and Penny have met.
Yeah.
Which is your local BNI?
We're Maidstone Pioneer. So
it's quite a big group, or something, isn't it?
Big group.
I've been to a couple of your meetings.
It goes up and down in numbers, but always very successful.
Are you mostly the breakfast crew?
Breakfast crew. Yeah.
I always remember those, and then you come out and you get home and you feel like it's the middle of the night. It's only like 11 o'clock or something.
But it's worth it. There's such a great group
buzz.
Of people.
Yeah.
And we're looking for new members, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
Well.
Okay.
That's Maidstone Pioneers.
Yeah. Come on down.
And they're great supporters of Kenwood Trust as well, aren't they?
Oh, huge supporters of Kenwood. They raised £20,000 for us last year.
Yeah, cool.
Climbing three peaks.
Right, yes, yeah, I remember.
And we've got a nice little trek coming up in a few weeks' time.
In May, yes.
Yeah, what are you up to?
A 50K trek, just signed up to.
Yeah. Blimey, where?
I don't know.
Well, it starts somewhere in Medway and ends up at Eastwell Manor.
Yeah, down in Ashford, yeah.
Oh, Medway to Ashford.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's organised by Kent Rescue, the voluntary group.
What's Kent Rescue? That's not the air ambulance.
No, though, they're a voluntary group when people go missing, the police often call them to help with the search.
There's a huge number of people that go missing, aren't there? Mm. Quite shocking that we wouldn't even know about.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's people that want to go missing that go missing, if you see what I mean.
I wanted to go missing.
John Stonehouse type thing.
Yeah. I'm not on the Wi-Fi, Paul.
Well, put yourself on the Wi-Fi then, Jules.
Yeah.
Anyway, shut up. I'm talking to John, for goodness sake.
Well, because I want to video him.
Yeah, well, be quiet.
Life's busy. It's great. I do football coaching for my daughter's football teams.
Right, okay.
Director of Sittingbourne Milton Regis Golf Club.
Right.
Sort of stay active in and out of work as much as we can. Right. Obviously, the motor trade was a 7-day-a-week, 365 job, 24 hours a day. And now I've kind of got weekends back. It feels like I'm on holiday every week. So I've got to fill it with something.
Okay.
So you're very sporty.
Now coaching, obviously not playing as much as I used to. But, yeah, like the coaching side. Moved up to say as I do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
I used to know his dad.
Did you? Really? Blimey.
And he was at Gillingham.
Right, okay, yeah.
So my dad was a pro footballer at Gillingham, yeah.
Right, okay.
And Penny used to do some work at the club. It's a small world.
Okay, cool, okay. Yeah. Nice one. Right, so talk us through Easy Chat, John.
Right, well, Easy Chat, you may know or remember from previous visits, you may or may not know, always been involved now in the outsourced communication. So part of AnswerCom, which is an inbound call answering service. We've got The Farm, which does outbound sort of prospecting calls and duty of care calls for companies. And then over the last 4 years, we've been developing Easy Chat.
Right.
Easy Chat is a chatbot, for want of a better phrase. You know, we've all been sort of driven slightly mad by chatbots on banking websites and power websites, etc. Or we've been sat there for ages waiting for a human to interact with us on a human-only chat service.
Right. Right.
So what we've developed with Easy Chat is what we call a blended solution.
Okay.
It's a chatbot, so we work very hard on building a knowledge base alongside the organisation that employs it. We don't just send off weird and wonderful questions to the AI world and hope it finds the answer. We actually build a knowledge base that's specific to that organisation. But what we've got is a very unique way that the AI chatbot and the human agent, if chosen to be deployed, is deployed. Because the worst thing about a chatbot is also the most common thing about a chatbot, is that at some point it will fail.
Yeah.
And what we mean by fail is it won't have an answer to a question that's being asked.
And they never go, I don't know.
Yeah, they always try and send you back around in circles.
Yeah, I'd much rather go, I don't know.
Yeah, just be honest with it.
Yeah.
So we've worked really hard in understanding people and their personalities, how they choose to engage.
Yeah.
Again, chatbots will often have push-button services, so you've got to choose an option that they've decided on without the ability to type what's in your head.
Yeah.
And we've worked really hard on being able to type what's in our head into the chatbot and then still find the right answer for it.
Yeah.
So, we've really been selling it properly for the last 6 months, maybe.
Okay.
After all of its development, we're out in the big wide world. We've got some great customers, like a large Mercedes-Benz group down in the South Coast, which is fantastic for us in the motor trade, being an industry we know.
Mm.
And of course, we're here now is Penny and the team at Kenwood have taken it on at the turn of the year. We've great success to both Penny and the people that are engaging with it. So much so, Penny's been very, very kind and opened us up to her network of charities that she's involved in, and we've got others follow suit.
Okay.
And I think, and obviously Penny will talk about it from the Kenwood point of view, I'm sure, but the reason why it's really resonating with the charities is because of the way that we allow people to engage with it.
Right.
It can help a charity who typically run on a skeleton staff be able to engage with the people who choose to use it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
Minimal cost, Maximum Effect.
Okay.
And it's really helping organisations have a proper conversation.
Right.
You know, it's not a tick box exercise. It's not something that you have to put on your website because you think you should.
Right.
This is something that actually benefits both the organisation and the people wishing to use it.
Okay, cool. I want to talk to Penny about it in a minute, and we're also going to talk in the second half of the show. We'll talk to Penny about Kenwood Trust and the work that Kenwood does. In this part, we'll talk to her about her application of EasyChat. But I just want to ask a couple of geeky questions.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, a lot of these kind of things in the early iterations of stuff like this were implemented on what were called IVR boxes, interactive voice response boxes, which drive you bonkers. I once, there was an organisation called Lucent who were one of the biggest manufacturers of IVR boxes. And about 20 years ago, I was hired as a consultant to look at their own in-house customer service. Mm. And my report said, well, the trouble is you use your own IVR boxes and they're just not very good. Mm. Because they send, you know, they deploy them as a weapon rather than as a customer aid, as a way of just stopping you getting through rather than helping you. Mm. How is EasyChat implemented? Is it a piece of hardware, a piece of software, an app?
Yeah, basically it's a piece of code that goes onto the website. It's a little widget at the bottom of the screen, but we also double it up to create its own URL.
Right.
So a key factor for charities and other organisations is being available when your customers or your patients or your end users are available, rather than when you're open. So by embedding a URL into a social media post or a fundraising email campaign or, you know, an email signature, people now can decide to deal with you by phoning you when you're open, emailing you and maybe waiting 24 hours, or engaging with you at the time they're ready, by clicking on the link.
Yeah.
So that's one straightforward way that it's built in, but it's just really simple. All the clever stuff is done by the clever guys of building knowledge base and everything, but ultimately for you and your business, it's a piece of code you put onto your website and it's a click of a button and it's done.
Right, okay. And that takes you through to this knowledge base.
I mean, ultimately, the way we've deployed it and the way we charge for it and the way we want it used is typically it's per conversation that's engaged rather than question that's being asked or even user.
Right.
A lot of the SaaS products will charge you for the users. But if we take the Mercedes-Benz group, for instance, they typically have 29 or 30 of their own staff engaging in the bot each month without additional charge.
Okay.
The reason why we do that is we truly want to promote an organisation having a conversation with the end user.
Right.
If we restricted the number of users or even the number of questions that could be asked through the chat, which some do as well, then it means you're not actually benefiting from having it in the first place.
Right.
Okay. So for us, we've removed all of the restrictions and made it really easy to do business with.
I want to move on, if we can, and get a better understanding of how it is in real life, if you see what I mean. You intimated that there was a hybrid kind of approach to this, that there was a human involved somewhere possibly and the chatbot. So I'm intrigued by that because I think that is unique.
Yeah, it is. Mm. And so hybrid exists. Right. So hybrid today is when the chatbot hands over fully to a human. So if ever you've been on a chatbot online, the AI falls over, it says, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm going to get hold of Dave.
Yeah.
You then wait 15 minutes for Dave to turn up, who asks you the same questions over again because he doesn't know what's gone on before.
So frustrating.
So frustrating.
A bit like seeing the doctors.
Well, doctors need this.
Yeah.
So then what we've developed is what we call a blended solution.
Yeah.
And what happens is at the part of the if an organisation chooses to deploy it this way, and Ken would have gone for the AI mainly solution, so there's less human involvement, but if you choose to deploy it using our signature blended solution, again, no extra fee. Our system is our system.
Right.
At the point in the conversation that the AI has failed, it sends an alert to the human agent, whether that's somebody in your own organisation or outsourced to people like us or whatever.
Yeah.
The agent can step in, answer the one particular, or help answer that one particular question, and then step straight back out again. So the AI carries on.
Right.
So what it means is that your workforce is efficient and each member of the team can answer up to 10 conversations at a time.
Right.
Because the AI is doing most of the work. All you've got to do is step in and answer the question that needs help rather than the whole conversation.
Right. Okay.
And again, that's pretty unique out in the world of
absolutely. Chatbot. And to me, that sounds like a much better solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because with all the will in the world, technology still struggles with the nuances of the way people speak and ask questions.
You need them to work hand in hand. So, you know, we're not AI and human genuinely work hand in hand.
Right.
The AI automation can only work if the human teaches it.
Yeah.
And the humans can only work if the AI gives it a nudge.
Yeah.
So actually what we've done is created something, you know, I can't explain it, it needs to be seen, but create something that makes it really easy to use, but ultimately does what it's supposed to do, which is put a customer in front of an organisation,
right,
rather than just put it on there because we think we need to have it.
Right, OK. I like it. Can we, we'll turn to Penny now and talk. We'll just give us a very quick what Kenwood Trust do and are. We will actually talk to you in greater depth in the second half of the show about Kenwood, but just so that people know what we're dealing with here, and then maybe, Penny, talk us through how you use it and what made you choose it, yeah?
So Kenwood Trust is a charity based in Yalding. We support people suffering from addiction. We've got a residential rehab and then move on properties in the west of Kent. And we also work in schools with early education and early intervention. So obviously, I, as we said earlier, I met John through BNI.
Yep.
So understood what he was doing. And our sector, there is a lot of embarrassment and stigma around addiction.
Yeah, absolutely.
The campaigns since, particularly since the pandemic and actually during the pandemic, has helped people recognise that actually it's an illness and that so many of us can fall foul of it very, very easily. The pandemic in particular has accelerated those that turn to drink and drugs during that time.
Yep.
We all suffered trauma in one way or another during the pandemic. So there is an increase in people suffering. As a charity, we obviously struggle with money and financial stability because of the type of sector that we're in. So we don't have tons of staff that can answer the phone. We do our best. We support a lot of families. We support a lot of people, let's say, within normal working hours. But the bot from EasyJet that's now on our website gives us the opportunity to engage with people 24/7,
right,
which is so important. People can hit crisis at any point.
Exactly.
They're embarrassed to pick the phone up. They're embarrassed to admit. And funnily enough, I was at a presentation at police headquarters a few weeks ago, and they've seen an increase in this technology on their website, possibly for the same reason, that people don't want to actually say it out loud.
Yep.
And the interaction that we have seen since having this on the website has been remarkable.
Okay.
As John has said in a couple of meetings, you know, his system is helping save lives.
Yeah.
It's engaging with people who may not have that opportunity.
Yep.
It gives us the opportunity, having spent a lot of time on all the answers, to open that door for people to actually then follow through with some sort of support or treatment.
Yeah. Are you able to give us a kind of example, fictitious, you know, obviously you're not going to name people, apart from Jules, when she rang, but could you give us an example of the kind of thing that people will ask when they call in?
A lot of the calls can be actually from family members as well.
Okay.
I think that's really important. That initial inquiries can often be from someone. And what we've seen, in, sadly, a huge increase in is the under 30s suffering from addiction. And many of those are still living at home. So it's a parent who has no legal sway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But obviously they're living under their roof.
Yeah.
Penny, is it only drug, not only, but drug and drink, or do you go into gambling and eating?
No, we are substance misuse.
Okay.
So it is drugs and alcohol. Okay. Although we are seeing a lot of new types of drugs. So ketamine and nitrous oxide is sadly on the increase.
Yeah.
And particularly with the under 30s.
Yeah, I'm seeing that in Whitstable and Skunk, of course. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's very, very strong now. It's not like the swinging 60s.
Yeah. We had a big incident out here the other night. Actually, a guy in an Alfa Romeo was ballooning while he was driving up and down. He completely lost it. Mm. He was overtaking people that were trying to turn left. He, just a nightmare. Police had to put one of those stinger things down eventually to stop him.
Well, I was with Kent Air Ambulance a few weeks ago, and they have seen a 30-something percent increase in drug-related injuries that they're having to be called to.
Yeah, absolutely. So you quite often get family members that will call up, possibly late in the evening, early hours in the morning, at the end of their tether, I'm assuming.
And I think, you know, based on what Penny just said, in the under-30s, you know, we've got a generation of people now, late teens, early 20s, that will never pick the phone up.
Yeah.
They just don't.
No, it's not they just communicate. Don't. Yeah.
I mean, I took my daughter to school a few months back. She's 16. And her friend wasn't outside waiting for her.
Right.
And I said, go and knock on the door. And she said, I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, I've got a message. I'd say I'm outside. Just go and knock on the blooming door.
Yeah.
So we've got a generation of people that are never going to pick the phone up, regardless of what the conversation is.
Yeah.
And I think if organisations don't have something like Easy Chat, I'm not saying you have to have it, although you do, is something like Easy Chat, then you're in danger of being left behind, not only as an organisation, but the people who want to engage with you. And, you know, we were in a great position that 2 days or 3 days after going live with Kenwood Trust, they actually had somebody inquire about signing up to the 12-step program using EasyChat. And when I got it through, a lot of people were saying, oh, that's great, you know, it's a return on investment. Genuinely, I was on a golf networking group, and the first thing I did was I showed the people I was playing with, saying, look, I've just saved a life,
I've saved a life.
And because that's how it made us feel, and you don't realise, there's no sliding doors moment.
Yeah.
We'll never know whether that person will have phoned up and booked themselves in, but what we do know is that in that moment, when they needed the help, they were able to get it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, okay. And it's kind of minimised because it's a chatbot, and they don't have to explain themselves to another human straight off, that they feel more comfortable about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially younger people who are far more used to using technology solutions to do everything, basically. Yeah.
But also have feedback and have contact at any time.
Yeah.
You know, you can hit a crisis at 3 a.m.
And I'm just fascinated by the kind of knowledge base that you're building here. I want to come back to this. What's a typical kind of question people are trying to get answered? Is it? I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth because you know better than I do, but are they trying to ascertain whether they have a problem? They know they have a problem and want to know what they do about it, or are they inquiring how they get admitted to sort themselves out? Yeah.
It can be all of those, but often one of the main questions we are asked is, how do I get referred?
Yeah.
And not, you know, not knowing the system, and again, communication or promotion, if you like, in the UK is not great about how do I access drug and alcohol services?
Yep.
How do I get the funding?
Yeah.
So that's one of the key questions that we often first of all answer.
Yeah. Okay. I can imagine that. You're right. You know, I need help. How do I do it? Yeah.
How do I access help?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And the key is it gives people a choice. You know, with communication, with personality types, with people, human beings, everyone wants the decision of how they get in contact. Mm. So we're not saying it has to replace the telephone. We're not saying it has to replace the email.
Sure.
What we're saying is for the people that don't want to use the telephone or don't want to email, they've now got an additional choice. And, you know, again, Penny alluded to it earlier on with fundraising or with money coming in. You know, we all get time to think about ourselves when we're not busy. When we're not busy is when we're sat at home or when typically they're shut.
Yeah.
So actually, if I wanted to support Kenwood Trust, I couldn't do it at 9 o'clock tonight and speak to somebody.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and it's not just somebody wanting to save themselves. It's actually somebody wants to support the charity.
Sure.
You know, the fundraising options are all through the chatbot facility as well.
Yeah. So it gives you a 24-hour presence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it gives you a 24-hour presence that's reasonably lucid, rather than just leave a message and we'll get back to you kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives people that peace of mind.
Yeah.
It starts that conversation, all those things that without it wouldn't be happening.
Yep, absolutely. Cool. I should have asked you this right up front. I mean, what was the start point of this, John? When whoever it was that had the bright idea to do this, how long ago was that? And what was the catalyst for that, if you know the answer to that?
Yeah. But it's best part of 4 years now.
Right.
We've invested over 10,000 man hours in in building the solution as it is, and it's constantly evolving. It's not done. It never will be done.
Sure.
But ultimately, it was my business partner, Claire Burrows, who met a guy called Matt Stone. There was at an automotive event. They met, and as you do, you get talking, and you have shared shared backgrounds, etc. And Matt was involved in this company that, or with these people that had a great idea,
right?
And they had a great idea which we believed that they believed were unique. So as it all happened, you'd meet with the clever guys who build the tech, and then you put together the people who can bring it to market.
Yeah.
And we constantly evolve it. And obviously we've got the contact centre, AnswerCom. So we started to prove the concept through the contact centre.
Right.
And the contact centre then could use the chat facility. So we've got call agents now that, instead of answering the telephone, we'll answer chats on behalf of companies.
Right.
And so it just builds and builds and builds. And then it becomes a customer service tool. And then we find certain industries. And, you know, Penny was great in adopting it. And then we sort of fall into an industry knowing that we've got an empathetic bot that does certain things that others can't. By somebody taking a punt on it early, you know, we find an industry that actually we can really support. So, yeah, the clever guys have been going about 4 years, you know, say 10 to 12,000 man hours developing it so far.
Right.
And it's constantly evolving. The next stage is self-service. So we can start attacking the contact centre market greater because it would be easier and quicker to set up.
Yep.
So then they can sell it to their own customers and make money from it. Ultimately, it can become a white-labeled product that we can take to contact centres across the UK and then into other countries. You know, it's a product that's ready to go. Whilst you're always developing it, it's a ready-to-go product and concept. So
this time next year, Rodney.
Well, I hope it's quicker than that. but no, you know, there's a lot of talk around AI, and I know we're probably running out of time, but I just want to touch on the AI concerns. You know, there's a lot in the media out there, and it feels like it's grown quickly.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we've been developing and using AI for forever.
Yeah.
You know, we've all Googled something, you know, five words, and it brings back 45 million responses in half a second.
Yeah.
That's AI.
Yeah.
We've all asked Siri. We've all asked Alexa stuff.
Yeah.
We trust it. This thing about, you know, I don't want to talk to a bot. I want to talk to a human. What you're actually saying is, I want an answer to my question.
Yeah.
And actually, if you get the right answer the right way at the right time, you don't really care who you're talking to.
Exactly.
And you know, we prove it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So AI is, you know, we don't have our own AI. We use all of the different AIs available to the market to make sure we're matching the right question to the right answer. So we can use every sequence that's out there. We can integrate with CRM systems. We can take information in and out. We can do decision-making bots. We can, you know, whatever's required is needed because we're not wedded to one particular method of doing it.
Absolutely. And, of course, technical solutions always start off, you know, in raw form, and then develop over years. You know, nothing comes fully formed and fully ready. You know,
the moment we stop developing it is, you know, we need to leave because it needs to be constantly developed to keep up with the marketplace.
Yeah.
And the beauty of what we do, hopefully, like Kenwood and others will find out, is that we work around your organisation.
Yeah,
we don't say what our product is and then you have to fit it in.
Yeah,
you know, we genuinely build a bespoke bot time and time again, because that's the benefit, that's the whole purpose of it being there, is to make sure you're maximising your opportunities.
Absolutely.
So we work with you, not the other way around.
Fantastic. John, look, it's been a pleasure talking to you about this.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more about EasyChat, what's the best way to do that?
You can visit our website, www.easychat.co.uk. And you won't be surprised to know there'll be a chatbot facility.
I was going to say, have you thought about putting one of those on there?
So you can do it that way. Obviously, you can find us on LinkedIn you can email it through at hello@easychat.co.uk. Please do go online and check out the chatbot facility and we'll be in touch.
Fantastic. John, thank you so much for that. Pleasure as always to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Absolutely.
But for the moment, John Lovell of EasyChat, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We're going to talk to Penny in the second half of the show about Kenwood Trust and all the kind of, and Kenwood Place and all the other things that you do there. We've got quite a few tweets coming in, and you wanted to read an email half an hour ago.
I'm not going to now.
No, she's about to dump
Sorry, me. No, not on a Tuesday. Martin Reeves says, great interviews. I fundraised for a few quid, he said, for the Kenwood Trust through Collectors Buddy, which is his charity. It's a vital, great Kent charity, talking about Kenwood Trust. So thank you for that, Martin, and glad you're listening. Yes. Yeah. Penny says thank you as well.
Chips and Dinks said, hope you all had a lovely Easter break. Welcome back. What a great show. Thank you for that, Bev.
And In Tune PR says, hello to the radio broadcast Turning Virgins On.
Matrons. Thank you, Dazzle.
With Jules Serkin and her half-hour health updates. Yeah, I'm healthy. It's just annoying.
It's everyone else.
Yeah, okay.
Crouch House Candles have been on. We would love a big business monkey shout out, please, Paul and Jules. We're making English Rose scented soy candles in Edenbridge today. Great show. We're really enjoying listening. I've actually got some of their candles as well. They're very nice.
Yeah, what flavour have you got? Do you remember?
Yeah, I've got vanilla.
Oh,
guess what?
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Do you know, vanilla is one of my favourite, though. Anything.
Of course.
I will eat custard. Mad about custard, of course, but any like what's the other in panna cotta?
Yeah,
I love vanilla.
I rang Mike last night, and his missus answered the phone, and I said, "Where is he?" She said, "He's making custard in the kitchen."
Oh, delicious! Well, my new husband did. I've got a load of frozen plums off our tree from last season, and I got them out of the freezer. And yeah, my new husband made custard.
Bev from Chips and Dinks also goes on to say, "Thank you for the shout out. I'm starting Lent again today, so no chocolate for 6 weeks."
Why is she
starting
it again? Is it twice then? I don't know much about Lent.
No. What she's? Oh, let me explain. It was Lent.
Yeah.
It was then Easter.
Yeah.
She got loads of chocolate, and now she's got to do Lent again to pack up chocolate for 6 weeks.
But does that mean she went off the rails, or did she do the first Lent? I want to know.
I don't know.
Bev, did you finish the Lent and then eat and then decide you want to, you know, or did
well,
you
that's
go,
what it implies.
Or did you go off the rails?
No, that's what it implies. She did Lent, then had Easter and ate loads of chocolate, and now she needs to do Lent again to get over the chocolate rush.
Well, I've only got 2 weeks left of my 90-day protocol, and I have to say I've done a six-week protocol before about 10 years ago, but 90 days is tough because it's 3 months.
It's three months.
And I missed Christmas on purpose, missed my son's birthday, didn't do it then, January, but I forgot about Easter, and it's everybody's scoffing chocolate and... I made a trifle for the family and I couldn't eat it. And it was very annoying.
Oh, what a blow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I really, it's for life in a way. So, but I'm looking forward to having a glass of cava.
Right. I'm trying to catch up because we've read some of these out of sequence. So.
Can't do that.
Oh, Michael Parksvale says, what a perfectly lovely business bunker shout out. Thank you to Jules and Vanilla Web. Hold on. That's the wrong way round. That was smashing.
And Martin Reeves says, Jules' mum sounds like an old school warrior. And he says, my girls are out shopping, so my son and I are watching films until they came back. Films in the morning.
Films.
I mean, debauchment, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the morning. He said, I spent all day shopping yesterday as directed by my wife. Mm-hmm. So I would think that's for the 11-year-old's party.
I would imagine.
Bit of jelly going on.
Very quickly, because we're going to have a mid-show break in a minute. Sarah Marsh Collins, hello to the Business Bunker. Jules and Villain. What's all this putting her first? I'm not having this. And cast and crew, sorry, a bit late to listen in. Been to the vets and then for a lovely walk through the woods with Barney Boo, Bumble and Hinge. Well, welcome to the show, Sarah. Anything you've missed, and if you've missed the opening, then there's some stuff to catch up on that you really want to listen to. Except that I'd give the first 10 minutes a bit of a swerve if I were you. So that's the lovely Sarah Marsh Collins.
Did you see the...